Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That one over there is Sarah.
It's me.
And that guy over there, it's Chris.
Salut.
Salut indeed, my man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those of us on the island of Britain, the inconsistent and therefore unreliable weather is a constant topic of conversation. Whether it be too hot, too cold, too rainy or too grey, it is a subject matter we're known for. Whatever the weather, though, there are always those who see the positives and the negatives. So today we're asking the question, are you actually bothered by the weather? Sarah, I know you have strong feelings on this.
I am extremely bothered by the weather. The weather bothers me in many, many ways. Especially hot weather. To be honest, all weathers, it's quite hard to find a perfect weather. There's so many different layers to this. Where should I begin? Okay, firstly, physically. My physical comfort. If I'm too hot, I just become this banshee constantly screeching about how hot I am and how I can't move. I'm so sweaty. I'm so clammy. I hate my life. And I'm just awful.
You're a big clammy monster.
I am. Yeah. I am unpleasant to people around me. Mm-hmm. It just affects me so much because I'm physically uncomfortable. And I'm sorry, I've probably taken it out on you guys at some stage. I've probably
Many
shown
times.
Up for recording.
It feels like it now.
As a sweaty mess. Honestly, I just, when
fringe
I'm too
stuck
hot.
To your forehead,
oh,
angry,
don't
red
even
eyes.
Get me started on the effect it has on my fringe, Chris. You know how important my fringe is.
I know. You spend a fortune on it.
I certainly do. So. Yeah.
You say it's like it's plastic surgery. Spent a fortune on your fringe. You've had it cut in a certain way.
The time, money, mental energy I spend on this fringe, which if it's then ruined by the weather, and this is not just hot weather, by the way, if it rains and I haven't got an umbrella and it rains on my fringe then looks rubbish. I look rubbish. I'm very unhappy. The day is ruined. The week's probably ruined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I overreacting a little bit? Maybe.
The problem's not the weather, it's you.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. There was a lot of fringe chat there. Do you know what the American term for fringe is?
Bangs.
Bangs.
Yeah, it's weird that. I only found that out fairly recently.
Where
I quite like
that
it,
from? It's stupid.
Oh,
no offence to
our
Don't
ask
friends.
Silly questions, Sarah. Don't ask silly questions. Chris, does the hot weather bring you out in rage and anger and fits of clammy hysteria like it does to Sarah?
Not possibly to level that it does Sarah, no. I'm not a fan of the hot weather.
By the way, clammy hysteria is Sarah's DJ name.
I love it. Changing my Twitter handle now.
I'm not a fan of the hot weather, mainly because I'm quite fair, and I am one of those where if the sun's out. I remember like when I got married to my wife. So she is she's one of these annoying people who looks at the sun and goes a beautiful color of brown within a few hours. As well, I'm the complete opposite. And we were dating, and we were out, and it was a cloudy day. But I can still with my skin, I know that I'll still get burnt in certain cloudy times. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get burnt. She's like, oh, there's no such thing as wind burn. You can't get burnt through the cloud. Anyway, the next day,
I can.
I was like a Belisha Beacon. It was awful. But I'm like, and also like, if I go on holiday, I'll like, you know, I literally have to cover every part of my skin in sun cream. And if I miss a strip, that will get burnt. As well, it feels like she's in and out of the pool all day long, not really bothering with, well, she does bother with sun cream, but not to the extent I do. And she's absolutely fine. So I'm not a massive fan of the hot weather. However, I don't mind it as much as Sarah, unless it's humid. And I think it's the humidity you hate, right, Sarah? That's the issue.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, I wonder if part of it is, partly just life, to be fair. No, I think part of it is like knowing how to dress for it. Because like, I feel like maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like maybe men don't have this issue. Because like, you've only there are only certain like there are only however many fabrics of trousers you can wear or shorts, mm-hmm. and then you'll either wear mm-hmm. a t-shirt or a shirt, or you'll wear like a vest and I'll laugh at you. Whereas like it's like, do I yeah. wear a dress? Is there going to be like, am I going to be too hot? Do I need to take a cardigan? Oh, but it's going to get cold in the evening. Oh, but no. And then, like, what shoes am I going to wear with it? Because those shoes look silly. Oh, wait, no, actually, no, I'll just wear some trousers. Oh, no, no, that's going to be too... Honestly, it's so stressful knowing what to wear in the heat.
This is...
Because, Marcus, we don't feel the heat, do we, as men? You know, if it's hot or cold. And we don't wear shoes either, do we?
No, we just...
But there are less combos.
Choice is your problem, isn't it? There's just too much choice.
The tyranny of choice.
Just all dressed in. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think it's the choice that gets you all hot and bothered, Sarah. But I would say that you are right. Men have it. There is less choice. And I think it's simpler for men to eat in so many areas of society, but certainly when it comes to fashion. However, there is one thing that women can do in the summer and men can't really is
wax.
You mentioned it there is, well, men can do that, although you know, good luck to those who do, but it's wearing vests. Now I don't particularly want to wear a vest, but like, you know, if you work in an office, for example, if a woman turns up wearing, I don't know, dress, trousers, shorts, even whatever, and wears a vest, you think that's absolutely fine. If a man walks into an office with a vest, you think, what are you doing?
That is a good
like,
point.
Like, it's absolutely preposterous behavior.
That is
but
a
I
very
feel
good point.
That doesn't really, I don't, but I don't think it's a huge ace card up a woman's sleeve.
I'm sure
no. Has to wear them.
I think also, to be fair to men, like, you can, like, as a woman, well, you know, obviously you can wear what you want. We're talking more about sort of traditionally gendered clothing. Wearing a dress in the summer is a lot is a lot cooler, whereas like I think in a lot of offices, you, especially if it's, you know, formal business wear, you can't show up wearing shorts. You know, you've got to be wearing full trousers at all times, which I imagine must be a bit annoying.
Oh, when I see people on the London Underground in full suit when it's the summer and all that kind of jargon, I'm just like, I don't care how much money you've made. You've chosen the wrong career, you idiot.
yeah.
But of course, I mean, humid weather apparently makes people more tired and irritable. I think that's pretty obvious.
That's pretty classic for me.
And I think in a city like London, it doesn't get hot and humid that much. You can get the odd sort of streak in summer, I suppose. It's somewhere like New York, though. New York is very hot and humid in the summer, and it can be quite oppressive, that sort of heat. But I've never heard anybody say that they like the humid weather, to be perfectly honest with you.
No.
I think that's quite rare. But Britain's climate is a fascinating thing, and I think that's why it's a topic of conversation, because it changes so much where Britain is geographically, and then you've got the Gulf Stream and all that kind of stuff. It is quite incredible. But do you know the hottest, that was when I was researching some bits and pieces here, the hottest November day in the UK was recorded in mid Wales.
Was it? Yeah.
Do you know what the hottest temperature recorded in the UK in November was? Can you have a guess?
Ooh, November. November's quite chilly. 20.
You're quite close. 22.4 degrees or 72.3 degrees
that's
Fahrenheit.
Not,
if that's
the way
not
normal.
Wasn't that long ago? Well, July last year in the UK experienced its hottest day on record. Temperatures reached 38.7 degrees or 101.6 degrees Fahrenheit it was in Cambridge. But then it pales into insignificance. I mean, Australia's hottest temperature ever recorded was 50.6 degrees Celsius. You know? So, like, this is the thing. If you go to, you know, you go to Greece in the summer, which I did once, and I won't ever make that mistake again. 38 degrees obviously is hot. I mean, that's hot. You can get
some people
go, oh, it's not that. That's 38 degrees Celsius is hot. I don't care where you are, what's going on. But it's not that uncommon.
What's our blood boiling temperature? Isn't it like 37, 38 or something?
No, our blood is 37.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, it doesn't boil. I'm just talking nonsense.
I think you have to be quiet for that.
Yeah. But it's funny, though, how we're talking about the weather and does it bother you. We've honed in on hot weather, which is, of course, classic British thing to do, because anyone outside of the UK or even indeed in the UK listening to this think, well, bloody hell, what are you moaning about? Most of the time, it's piss poor weather where you,
where you are.
You shouldn't moan about a hot weather. You should rejoice. And actually, to spin this on a much more positive way, when the sun comes out in Britain, it is glorious. Like you see everybody's mood changes and so on. So to flip this right back, on its head, summer is a wonderful time. I mean, obviously it can disappoint, you know, it can still rain and so on, but there's nothing like it when everyone's down the park and so on, because it does always feel a bit like a novelty.
The thing is, when other people talk about the weather, I feel quite defensive, like they're talking about my family. I feel like as a Brit, I'm allowed to
diss my weather. We didn't create this weather system.
I can criticize the British weather, but you're not allowed to. I feel like someone's having a dig at my family. So when you said that, Marcus, I was just like, already I was boiling. I was just like, no one's allowed to say it about our weather system.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't mind if British people are saying it. I think for me, it's more, if it's like an American person, I'm like, no, it's perfect.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Depends though, because some people can like it that it's a more milder climate here because you don't get the extreme so much. So I heard somebody say before, I forget where they were from, but it was in a country. See, Eastern Europe is a funny one. Eastern Europe gets bitterly cold in the winter, but very, very hot in the summer. People often don't realize that.
Proper season.
Yeah. Oh, like almost to the extreme sometimes. Hungary is certainly one of those countries. This guy said, you know, what I really liked about living in London, and it was never, he loved running was a big hobby of his and would run the odd marathon, you know, here and there. And he said, what I loved about living in London was it was never too hot or too cold to go out for a jog. I thought it was quite a nice way of putting it.
Because I definitely use that as an excuse all the time. Oh, it's too warm.
But I did find it funny when listening to an American pastor speaking once, who came over here and said it was at a festival where everyone was camping and people were disappointed when it was raining, and he said, I love you English, you know, you kind of look out and it's like, oh, it's raining, and it's like, yes, why is that surprising or disappointing? You aren't you used to it by now, people? You know what I mean? it's like a guy stepping outside the igloo going, oh, it's a bit chilly today, isn't it? You know, it's just what happens here, you know.
Reminds me really. Is it a German saying where there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing? Like, you just got to be prepared, haven't you? Yeah. It's like, I was thinking about this before. Like, you said about, we talked about the heat. I don't mind the cold temperatures at all, but probably because I'm prepared for them. Mm. So, like, it's very rare that the temperature drops ridiculously during the day. And so, like, I like skiing. I know that you've dissed that in previous podcast, Marcus.
Terrible behavior.
But, like, again, that's ridiculously cold. But because you're prepared, you've got all the gear, it's absolutely fine. But with the heat, it's just, I don't know, it's harder to cool down.
But that's where, like Marcus, you were mentioning countries where they have both the extremes. Like, I've got relatives in Canada, and they literally, when we were there, it was in the 40s. But then at Christmas, they sent us a picture of literally snow up to the top of the door frame. And I was you must have a huge wardrobe to be ready for this. It's really impressive.
Yeah, get the old Canada goose out.
Prepared.
I think, I know what you mean. But I think that's interesting, though, you sort of touching on fashion there. Because for me in summer, you know, I'm a very sweaty man. But I love the summer, of course. I like,
sweat,
sunshine,
you
the
glow.
Long evenings.
You glow, Marcus.
But also, Marcus is a very huggy man. So that's the worst.
It's a lethal combination.
it really is. I have to be aware of it. Although it can't be huggy in the pandemic, of course.
True.
No.
But I think autumn is I think autumn is the best fashion. I think I do actually like wearing jackets, and I miss that in summer. I love a jacket.
If I like having a light wealthy, jacket. Like, just a nice
I'd very much that. But if I was very wealthy, I would have hundreds of jackets. I think that would be, you know, how some people like trainers or I don't know, sort of shoes or sort of shirts or something. I think I'm a big fan of a jacket. But then people like winter because they like the idea of it being all nice and cozy around the fireplace. Yeah. Let's be honest, nobody has a fireplace. But it's still that, it still evokes that sort of feeling in you, doesn't it, sometimes?
Yeah,
it
so does. Like in the winter, you know, when it's like, it's a really cold day, but the sky is crystal clear, You know, the sun is shining, but it's chilly. There's a frost on the ground. Like, yeah, that's lovely. But most of the time in Britain, it's more likely to be like a bit chilly and drizzling.
Mm. Yeah. Have you ever heard of seasonal affective disorder?
Yes.
Sad.
Yes.
Sad indeed. Yeah. Well, it's a type of recurrent major depressive disorder in which episodes of depression occur during the same season each year, sometimes called the winter blues. Of course, we did a podcast around that time, didn't we, in January, all about how do you beat the blues. And in countries, you know, with sort of the, obviously more distinct seasons, you know, this can happen. Because not all countries have distinct seasons. Most, in fact, a lot of them don't, you know, especially around the equator. It gets dark at the same time pretty much every day. Similar weather all year round, but you have extreme seasons in, say, somewhere like Norway, in terms of, or northern Norway, and around there you can have days in the summer which get hardly no darkness, and then days in the winter which get no sunshine, like it's pretty much dark all day long. You know, that's the absolute sort of nth degree of it. But a chap who I know lives in Barcelona, he said, because I asked him about Barcelona, and Barcelona is fairly sunny all year round, obviously very warm summers, great autumns and springs. And even in winter, it's not too bad, although it can get cold. And he said, I think in the UK, we convince ourselves that we like seasons. And he said, I like it in Barcelona. There's a lot of sunshine and it's warm for most of the year. And he said, I think in the UK, it's a kind of thing we do to say, oh, no, we're all right with this. And I find that quite interesting.
Maybe unconsciously. I lived in California, in Northern California. I think it was like third sunniest place in the US or something like that. And I definitely
300 days of sunshine.
I definitely adapted. Yeah. I definitely did love it in the end. And as I said, this is coming from a guy who isn't the biggest fan of the sunshine. But I think what was interesting for me is I was on the West Coast, and Marcus, you mentioned earlier, New York, and the East Coast is so humid. And it goes back to, there's like an uncomfortable heat, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing as well. But I don't know if I agree with his statement. Maybe you just make do with what you've got. But a bit like you, like, I quite like winter fashions, and I quite like the fact that we have a traditional Christmas. And again, we talked about it on another show, didn't we, about having Father Christmas, you know, in Australia is a bit weird because it just, you know, it's closer.
What does he wear?
But when you say seasons and stuff,
But when you say traditional Christmas, the Christmas celebrations that we all know are—it's essentially
it's Dickensian
kind of, well, it is. Yeah. But it's essentially a northern and central European winter festival where they've got a lot of the paraphernalia from, other than the kind of birth of Jesus and all the actual importance of it. But if you see what I mean, all the stuff that goes around it—that's what it is.
Yeah,
how and why it looks like that. Because I went to Malaga once around Christmas time, which, by the way, was brilliant. It was about 18 degrees during the day. And I'm sorry, I didn't miss the cold weather that Christmas. But it was weird to see some of the kind of Santa Claus and those kind of things. And as I say, some of the paraphernalia around Christmas, because you think, this isn't relevant for this. I mean, we're not far off the coast of Morocco here, for crying out loud.
You probably liked it as a one-off, though. You wouldn't want to change it permanently, would you?
It was about the 28th of December, I think it was, and my dear wife and I were sat by the beach outside in a restaurant, and we popped just for the lulls to Torremolinos for the day.
Hang on, did you say the 28th?
Of December, I think it
was. Yeah, it wasn't Christmas Day. You wouldn't want to sacrifice a lovely traditional Day.
We were there for Christmas Day. I was just giving you the precise date of this particular event that happened. And we were sat outside this restaurant. Yeah. We were sat outside this restaurant by the beach, and it was, as I say, it was like T-shirt weather, 18 degrees. And I remember thinking, I'm really not missing actually being back home right now. I totally get this.
Bit of winter sun.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, I think I get the whole flying south for the winter. I think though that I wouldn't. I don't want the extremes of weather. I don't want it to get. I think the weather has no business getting above like 27 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, just like calm down weather. Just calm down. But I'm
okay generally with the weather in the southeast of England, and I think that I would do away with January and February. And I think I'd be pretty happy there. The summer is annoying when it rains a lot and it's pretty inconsistent in England.
But it's also annoying when it's boiling.
But it hardly ever gets boiling, Sarah.
But it does.
You might have a week a year.
It's 3 days and you can never buy a fan in the shops for love nor money. It's like all the fans were bought last year are broken and everyone's gone out to buy a brand new one.
Every time.
That was to summer of 2018.
That was brutal.
that wasn't great, was it?
Also, I've got an alarm clock next to my bed because I don't know, I'm old school, and it's a little digital one and it's got a thermometer on it. And I remember that in 2018 being like, I can see at what temperature I'm cooking in my bedroom. And it was like 39 degrees in my room. And I was just like, this is not okay. I'm not okay with this.
Yeah. But ultimately, though, as you know, studies and studies and studies have been done on the weather and how it affects behavior and so on.
And you've read them
all? And I've read every single one of them.
You've absorbed. And I'm going to
sum it up for you now.
You're such a legend.
We really appreciate you.
He is. The amount of work he puts in, ladies and gentlemen, just to give you a snippet, is you just wouldn't believe it.
You wouldn't believe how much I disrespect the audience of this podcast with the little effort I put into it. But ultimately, though, what one can really just find is the effects of the weather essentially are dependent on our behaviour, culture, where we live and how we think. That's pretty much it.
I mean, that makes
it's
sense,
how you interpret it.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I will bring one study to the table, as I like to do.
Go on.
By a US psychology researcher, Matthew Keller, and I've no doubt that a man of Keller's importance and standing listens to this podcast. So he'll be delighted to know a kindred spirit, a man on an equal level playing field as old Keller. Keller and Speller are on there, and we're no doubt he uses my work to back up his examples and his theories.
Symbiotic
and so on.
Relationship.
I'm using Keller. Allow me to return the favor and use yours today.
Peas in a pod.
but he felt. Where am I? I've lost my train of thought. I was talking so much bollocks.
Is that one thing that, you googled earlier, mate?
If you Google US psychology researcher Matthew Keller, you'll find that this. He said that please don't Google anything to do with the show. I will be exposed for the fraud that I'm reportedly meant to be. But he said the beneficial effects of warm and sunny conditions on mood were only seen in people who had spent more than 30 minutes outdoors that day. Which is interesting because good weather can even have negative effects on people's moods if you're confined indoors. Because you look outside and go, everyone's outside. I'm not. I've got to get on with work, or I've got this, that, and the other. And he summed it up by saying, if you wish to reap the psychological benefits of good springtime weather, go outside.
Cheers, Keller.
We hear you, Keller.
That's a good point, that is, to be fair.
Do you want to hear my fact about the weather?
Always.
Is it a fact?
Well... Let's just say it is.
Okay.
A mild autumn equals bigger spiders.
That's true.
Because they have the insects are bigger and they've got more food, so they get bigger.
Oh, I hate
it. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful in autumn because when the weather gets a bit colder, the spiders are like, oh, sod this, we're going to die. Right, everybody indoors. And that's the worst time for spiders.
Oh, I hate
worst
it so much. Spiders.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the biggest spider is in the world?
Oh, God, no.
The great hairy spider.
The Goliath spider from Brazil.
You could have probably guessed that.
Yeah.
It's in Brazil, Sarah. You've already been there.
I've ticked that off. Never going back. Never going back.
Yeah, exactly.
It was too hot as well.
Size of a small puppy. Imagine that running at you. Absolutely. With eight legs. A puppy with eight legs.
Oh, yeah, hang on. But which? What puppy?
A one with eight legs and fangs.
But is it like a sausage dog puppy? Is it a pit bull puppy? There's all shapes and sizes.
It would be like a pug in my head. It would just have this little squat face with a billion eyes all leering at you, ready to jump from the top of the curtain when you're not expecting it.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have nightmares for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Indeed you are, Sarah. Indeed you are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a bit of news from us is that we are going to take a little summer break because Sarah is too hot and bothered. She's a bit clammy and we need her to calm down. But we will be back. We will be back for the start of spider season in September.
You lucky thing.
So perhaps we'll do a whole episode dedicated on how to kill the little buggers. but yeah, so we're going to take a little break. But, you know, fear not. we will be back in your ears, and we very much appreciate you journeying with us as you have done so valiantly and so with such dedication. But yeah, so but we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you very much. Whether you've given us a review or not, we appreciate you. Those who gave us favourable reviews, we appreciate you a touch more. but we will, as I stress, we will be back in September. Do check the socials. You'll be updated there. So hang fire. Enjoy the summer. Don't get too hot. Don't get too cold. We will be back in September with some brand new ideas and topics that will make you punch the air with joy, that you can't believe that three average people are going to tackle such subjects. No, you're not average. I am. So there we are. Sarah, what are you going to do with this bit of time off? You're going to buy a fan and cool yourself and
I'm
eat all the ice cream.
I'm sit in front
world.
Of a fan for approximately yeah. however many weeks it's going to be with an ice pack on my head.
Delightful. Chris?
I am going to, I don't know, take half an hour a day outside, like you said, and try and get out.
Oh, good
I
man.
Think that'd be a good start. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty boring. Yeah, speaking of things on your head, Sarah, you reminded me that one of my extreme weather things was I once played football in Geneva and the sun cream came, it like dripped off my head because of the sweat. And I burnt so badly that it all blistered and it basically all peeled off in one go like I was a snake.
We literally need to end this show now. I can't deal with any more of your things you're telling me, Chris. What is this?
This is like turned into some sort of reptile. you're not going to the house of creepy crawlies. He's going on about big spiders and turning into a lizard.
We were talking about Australia before. Maybe that's been sort of lodged in my brain about spiders and snakes and stuff.
Right, that's enough.
What are you going to do then, Marcus?
I'm going to mute your microphone is what I'm going to do. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Does the weather actually bother you? If you're Sarah, yes. If you're Chris, perhaps. And if you're me, you always stay cool no matter what the temperature. Do get in touch with us. You know, tell us you know, what your thoughts are on all these matters at AQQA Pod. On Insta and Twitter. You know, we will update you. As I say, we're having a little break, but we're back in September.
Send us your questions.
Send us your questions.
Yeah, do. Yeah.
Indeed.
We love
hearing
them.
What questions do you want us to answer? We haven't done a call to arms for ages.
Yeah.
No. So let's have a bit of that.
We are a bit picky, though, so don't assume that they're going to get used.
True, but sometimes, Chris, sometimes we've answered them, Chris.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for over a year. So there is that as well. And you can email us as well. Chris, what's the email address?
show@aqqapod.com.
Well remembered.
Thank you. I didn't remember it. You've been very kind. And this is a re-edit, Marcus. this is my third go, listeners. So thank you, Marcus.
You can tell we need a break.
We really do. So there we are, my darlings. Until September, have a marvellous rest of the summer. We will reconvene for spider season, as it's now rebranded. And we look forward to seeing you then. Say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Chris.
Au revoir.
That's goodbye from me, my beauties.